Right, let's get in position.
Is it working?
Yeah, I think it should be. Yeah. We just need to not touch them once they're there. Right, you speak.
Testing, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Testing, 1, 2. Right, we're done.
Okay, sorry.
In position, don't touch them on the first scene.
Okay, there you go.
Right, ready. Yes, guys, what's good? You're tuned into Mango Masala, Pi Radio South Asian show. My name's Gerns, I'm here with Halima.
Hey, everyone.
And welcome to season 5.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's actually crazy, our 5th year.
2025.
That's insane. Scary.
That is, right, let's talk about that first, because I really, from like the stroke of midnight, was really deeping it. And I really feel that 2025,
right,
it's not like messing about anymore. Like,
oh,
we're very like much into this century. Like,
I
in the
you.
Big figures.
We're a quarter century down. Yeah.
Yeah. I no longer feel. I really feel like I no longer feel young, basically.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's been me literally like year on year. The existential crisis is just existential crisis. And what I mean by that is I just feel myself getting older.
But I think I can actually like see it now. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's there in the writing. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I have actually.
You can't outrun it. You can't.
Because I think as well, like, being born in the last half of the 90s, I think we're not like totally aware of what was going on. I've got a few memories, not that much. I feel like I've very much been aware of most things since since the start of the millennium. So to have been fully aware of everything for 25 years, I think that for me is just like, that's a lot.
It is a lot. Like I said, we all are literally a quarter century down.
I wonder if Touchwood will make it to see 2100.
I don't know if I want to. To be honest,
that is a fair point.
Isn't 2025 the year that? Do you know what it is? It's like we're in the future. Isn't 2025 the year where that headline came out? Like 2025, we're having sex with robots.
Yeah, so in 2016, an article came out and it said by 2025, women will be having more sex with robots than men.
That's insane. Well, actually, I guess if you think about like toys and stuff, maybe
anything to report.
No, Carlos, we're not that kind of show. We're not that kind of show.
But no, I think we can safely assume that that is not the case, I would say.
Yeah, no. I mean, like, the picture of it was like a lady lying on a humanoid robot. Like, we're not quite there yet.
Maybe. I think it's kind of the equivalent of how, like, in the...
Cars, nothing.
In the 80s, they were like, oh, yeah, by 2000, we'll be driving around in flying cars. And still waiting for that. That would be absolutely...
That would be amazing.
It would be amazing, but also chaos.
Yeah, it would.
But
speaking of chaos on the roads, I want to talk about something, which is, have you noticed that Manchester has just gotten busier?
Southerners.
Like, we've spoken about it before, like, oh, there is this influx of Southerners coming up to the city and blah, 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 blah. But, like, I'm really, really, really starting to deep it now. Like, have you noticed that Manchester has just gotten so busy? Mm. I feel like, so I started driving, like, 4 or 5 years ago now, and...
Oh, did you not start driving at 17?
I got my license then, but I didn't actually start driving until about, like, 4 or 5 years ago. So I just even in like those 4 or 5 years, I see such a distinct difference in like a road traffic. I remember when it started getting busier and I thought like, oh, it's just a phase. Like, you know, sometimes you have periods in the year, like, you know, in the summer holidays, maybe like in the Christmas time, New Year's time, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But now I feel like it's just perpetual and it's everywhere you go.
Are you sure it's not to do with the fact that obviously 4 or 5 years ago was COVID and that you're comparing it to that?
Well, I don't know. Have you not noticed anything?
I think I have, but maybe not to the like extent that it's like, oh my god.
Really? I feel like it's not, like traffic is a big one. But this is what I was gonna say. Like initially, when I noticed it, I felt like it was localized to certain areas. Like I noticed it a lot when you'd go to town. Obviously, a lot of people living in the city center, and then kind of like various other places. But now I'm noticing it everywhere I go. Like, I've been running a lot of errands in the last few weeks. I've had a lot going on. And every single where I'm going, like, and it's all over the city as well, all over North Manchester, South Manchester, East, West. I'm going literally everywhere. It's just busy. everywhere is busy, and it's like, and also you'd expect to like peak times. You know, before like peak times, it would be very busy. Now we have like peak time traffic at like 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yeah, I will say the one thing that I've noticed is that it's very much if you drive at those peak times, it's
not it.
Because like, I think because in my freelance job that I had for like the past 2 years, I would kind of always go there and come back at non-peak times.
And it was fine.
And then I remember, like, on the odd occasion where, like, I actually, like, finished work at the standard 9-to-5 time, I'd drive and I'd be like, what
is
this?
It would be hell. It would be actual hell. But I feel like a lot of that has spilled out into non-peak times now as well. Mm. I remember, like, when I was in London, obviously London is notorious for bad traffic. And then I would, like, come back to Manchester and I'd feel such a palpable difference. Like, oh my God, in Manchester, you can actually just put your foot down and drive. Like, you don't have to worry about stopping and starting, let so much traffic. Mm. But now I feel like sometimes I'm sat in traffic. Like, on my way here, for example, I was just sat in traffic and I'm like, it feels like I'm driving in London. Like, I can't have a continuous stretch of driving. Like, there's just always traffic. I don't like it, Andy Burnham. You've got to do something. And also, like, because I don't know if you've noticed, like, so many of the roads are closed. I think it's because of the floods, isn't it?
Yeah.
All the A roads.
You know what's mad, though, is that it's kind of become the new sort of snowing thing in that, I swear, every single year, these rains come, and it's always the same places. These places, like, for example, near mine, but on the Didsbury side, always floods.
I'm not joking. Because where I live, I rely on A roads to get anywhere, you know? So all the A roads are closed. Like, I can't go anywhere.
Handforth bypass.
It's closed. The airport road is closed. Yeah. The road to Altrincham this morning was closed. The Handforth one, a couple of times I've tried to go through and it's closed. Yeah. I can't flip and go anywhere.
But this is what I mean. It's kind of like similar to the snow in that. I'm kind of like, with the snow each year, we're always like,
why are we not more sufficiently prepared for that?
Why do we, every time we're like, oh my gosh, it's snowing and it's so icy. What do we do?
Have you seen the floods though?
Yeah, no.
Have you seen it on TikTok?
They're bad.
My gym is closed. My gym has been closed.
Here, we're at Pi Radio, you know, the big Tesco?
Yeah.
Like, on the other side of that, like, the mill that side flooded, like, really bad. Like, people's, like, whole cars submerged, got written off, everything.
Yeah. Like, I saw, like, West Didsbury, I know, was, like, really bad.
Yeah, like, basically, I'm actually kind of lucky because where I am, I'm
I was going to say,
side.
Are you all right?
It always floods on that side.
You are so lucky. You got so lucky because you're really, really in the middle of it.
And also, like, I'm at the top of a hill, so I think I'll be okay.
I think that was the same for us as well.
Yeah, but this is what I mean. With the snow every year, we're like, oh my gosh, it's snowing. What do we do? Running around like a headless chicken. And now, it's like, I feel like the same with the floods. Like, obviously, I recognise that it's not going to be a simple fix, right? But I'm kind of like, this is happening.
We're a rainy city.
Yeah. And this is happening every single year, multiple times.
Yeah.
It's always the same houses.
Yeah.
Can we not put in some kind of flood
measures
defense
in place, I know.
To prevent this happening time and time again? Like, I don't know.
But then it impacts like infrastructure for like days, weeks afterwards. You know, like roads are still not open.
Yeah.
So do something. Andy Burnham. Do something.
Well, on a more positive note, start to the year, obviously, it's a new year, a new quarter century.
Yeah.
I feel ill listening to that, like, new quarter century.
It does make me feel ill.
But I've seen a lot of people, obviously, discussing, you have the New Year's resolutions, but I feel like the trends this year is, like, ins and outs. So this is in for this year, this is out for this year.
Yeah.
And I feel like with the whole resolutions thing, before the new year, I was very much like, when people were discussing resolutions, I was very much like being a grouch about it, just like, it's so stupid. Like, if you want to change something, just change something. Like, it's not this, whatever. But I have found, like, the past couple of days, I've just been like, okay, let me do this because it's like new year, whatever. And it is just so much easier, I think, to actually do stuff now in these first couple of weeks.
Yeah,
just there's something about it.
It's a mental thing, you know, like, it's kind of like it helps you to be able to, I think, like, contextualize things mentally, because it is like such a, it's a new start, you know, like, I think it's a well-established new chapter. So it kind of helps to align your own new chapters and new starts to that. That's how I always think of it. I'm aware I could, like, change my life anytime, but it's helpful when it's, like, a new year, you know, because it's kind of, like, incentive and it's a bit more motivating than just doing it on a random Thursday.
I think the key is to not, like, when inevitably you do break what you've started, not being like, oh, well, start again next year. Like, yeah. You need to get back on it.
Yeah, you know, thing. I never actually keep New Year's. I don't ever make New Year's.
Yeah, exactly. This is the thing. I don't, because I just think it's silly, but I just feel,
but I feel like I'm missing a trick here. By not, you know, like someone who struggles a lot with like motivation and things like that. Me personally, I feel like it would be quite like this year. Probably I've actually sat down and thought a bit intentionally about kind of goals and stuff that I have because I am at rock bottom.
Right. Well,
I do need.
On that note, yeah. What's your ins for 2025 then?
Oh my God, ins.
Yeah.
Good health. Supplements. Okay. Supplements are in. Vitamin C, vitamin D, iron.
That's
is
such an
in.
Old person answer.
It is. But, you know, like when the older you get, the more you realize,
it's
you know,
true. It's
good
true.
Health you cannot take for granted. You got to work for it.
Even like the past couple of days, like I've literally been consciously eating more vegetables.
Yeah.
And you just feel like better.
Yeah. Like, you have to. You have to. Your good health. When you're a kid, like your health is so resilient. Like, you could be doing... I never once in my life ever thought about what is or is not good for me health-wise. And I was always, alhamdulillah, fine. But the older I'm getting, the more I'm realising that, God, that resilience that I had naturally as a kid, I have to now work for through supplements and things like that. So,
yeah,
right. Iron tablets in.
Right. Okay, what's an out then? Let's do an in and an out.
What's an ow? Anemia.
Like, you can't just do the opposite of like...
Bad health, ow. What's ow? Oh, I know, I know. What's out? What's out? My bad sleeping. Bad sleeping habits. Out. I got to fix it. Don't ask me what time. Actually, no, I woke up at an all right time today.
Yeah, because you actually have to do something.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what you need to do. You actually need to get like your days planned out and plan to have stuff in the morning.
No, I do, but then I just always, you know what it is? It's hard when it's like just for me because then I...
No, I'm exactly the same. Like literally this past week, like the first couple of days of January, it's kind of been like... Oh, I need to get up, but I'm also aware that like there's not that much push because it's kind of getting back into
the consequences
on
me. Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm just kind of like, oh, it's fine. Like, but I don't have that willpower.
That's it. Oh my God, I have zero willpower. Yeah. I'm so bad.
It's in willpower.
In willpower.
What about on a non-personal level? Any ins and outs?
What you say one? What's your personal ins and outs actually first?
Well. Okay, personal ins and outs. Personal ins is like making time for myself.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Personal outs is, I think same as you, sleeping would be a big one.
Yeah.
And I think also just like, I think I'm kind of just trying to go about stuff in the way that's life, like not deeping things too much and trying to just be at
Being
peace
a bit more...
with be at peace with the way that things are, like if I've done everything I can do, like whatever, I think that's my thing.
More inner peace.
Yeah,
inner peace is in.
Yes, literally in the name.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah. out bad jokes. Right.
Never.
In more puns, more segues.
Yes, more segues.
Right.
Out. Bad vibes island. Me out of bad vibes island.
You out, fair enough. But no.
Me?
No, because that goes against what you were saying. You were saying that you need to stop going everywhere.
You know what's so funny is that, so basically, guys, I did a roundup on my Instagram the other day of like everywhere I've traveled to this year. And alhamdulillah, I've been very lucky. I've managed to visit 16 different countries. I think it might be more, actually.
So it's literally like probably the same amount that I've visited in my life. Like,
yeah, I think it was between like 16 to 18. I can't remember. And then I wrote at the end, like, my New Year's goal for 2025 is to travel less so that I could, like, stay put enough to, like, sort my life out. Literally 3 hours later, I sent a message on my group chat talking about going to Bangladesh. I really want to go.
Well, I think there's a bit of a difference with, like, Bangladesh. Because, like, obviously, it's, like, literally family and...
Yeah, true. But I don't know, like, this time around, I've been thinking, if I go to Bangladesh, like, Sri Lankans around the corner.
Yeah, stop thinking about where you can
Sri Lankans
hop
around.
Afterwards.
That's my problem. I'm a serial hopper. Like, I will never... If I'm going somewhere in the world, I will always look around it and be like, okay, where else can I go? 2, 3, 4, 5 birds, one stone, you know.
I think someone needs to make you lose your passport again. So you
can't don't say that,
you
Carlos!
Have to get a new one every year.
Don't, God forbid, God forbid, I rebuke it.
Well, I think if you're being responsible, I don't think you can say in is you out of Bad Vibes Island. Also,
fine.
I think Bad Vibes Island in general, obviously, would be great, but we wouldn't really have anything to talk about then.
I mean, yeah, true say, true say.
It would be nice, but really,
Simran would love it. Simran would love not having to talk about Bad Vibes Island.
Simran is like, I don't know if it's the youngness, the immaturity. Simran lives in the cuckoo land of like, oh, I just want
to. She just wants to talk about skibbity toilet rings.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
she is very Gen Z.
It's not the world we live in,
unfortunately.
But you know what's funny?
Life is not all about skibbity toilet, although we wish it was.
I know. Babies that are being born now, it's generation
beta. Yeah.
Which is, that'll probably be. If when we have kids, like, our kids are going to be part of that generation, I think.
Beta, and then before that?
Alpha.
Z.
Millennial. X.
X, boomer.
I think so. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, yeah. I'm millennial Gen Z cusp anyway, so.
I'll push my, obviously same, but like, I would always push myself more towards millennial. I just feel like.
Well, you know what it is? It's like, when I'm with, like, older people who are millennial, I feel more Gen Z than when I'm with my Gen Z, like, siblings and cousins. I feel so millennial. They actually call me boomer. Like, as a joke, they call me unk. You know, have you heard that?
Yeah, unk today is,
what the hell? I never heard of that before. They started calling at me and then laughing. Like, wow, you lot are really, really, you're just bullying. You lot are actually bullying me.
Where do you think they learned it from?
Not me. Hee
hee. Wow. Any more, like, ins and outs in general in life?
Out, reform UK. Speaking of which,
in our opinion, like, we can't say that out principles that are normally aligned with the party members of Reform UK. In our opinion, that's what we can say.
In our opinion,
but yes, as you said, right? Let's load it up. Here we go, 2025.
The first
Bad Vibes Island. Which, in fact, is kind of translating to Bad Vibes World. Bad Vibes West, I'm going to say. That's where we're at right now. So,
Wicked West.
Let's start off a bit of a general conversation, first of all. Have you been on Twitter / X recently?
So the thing is that, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about Elon Musk. I've actually blocked him. Do you remember that conversation that we had?
Does it actually work?
It works.
Right.
You remember the conversation that we had where I said that I don't even follow him and he's always on my timeline?
Yeah.
I got fed up of it and I just blocked him. And no. I never block anyone. Like, no, I don't think I've got anyone blocked apart from him.
Yeah. And you know what's so funny is that he's always tweeting about, oh, people should, like, subscribe to get verified. And then once you've got that, then you can... what's it called? You can filter it out so you only see verified people and it makes it so much more less spam. And like, is there a version for the opposite of that where
I don't want verified.
But yeah, it is sad because at the end of last year, I was like, please, can we not talk about Elon Musk again? And yeah, here we are, first episode, but I feel like we kind of have to. But yeah, like you said, as someone that hasn't blocked Elon Musk, I think just because I kind of want to at least be aware of what's going on, kind of thing. It's just
I thought that at first and then it got too much.
But it is too much. Like, I literally open up Twitter on my phone.
It's just him.
Like, it's Elon Musk.
People talking about Elon Musk.
Right wing porn a lot of the time now as well.
Oh my god, like, what is up like, with that?
Yeah, like literally randomly coming up.
I can't even scroll on public or around my family
this is
anymore.
The thing, exactly, this is the thing. I'm genuinely scared. To open up Twitter in public because, like, literally, it's like kind of being on Tumblr, but you never, I don't know if you ever had Tumblr, you never knew what was going to come up on Tumblr.
I know.
But this is worse because it's not well intentioned.
I loved Tumblr back in the day. Oh my God, I was such a Tumblr girl.
Yeah. Bring back Tumblr.
Yeah, bring back Tumblr.
Right. But anyway.
For those of you who aren't aware, basically what has happened is
Elon Musk, he is basically getting involved in UK politics. And is very much instigating support for ultra right-wing beliefs. Let's recap this whole story, right? So Musk, obviously, has been... He's literally part of Trump's cabinet now, right? Or he's involved with Trump. He's literally got a position where he's director of government efficiency. Yeah. I think that's his title. So obviously, before the American election recently, he was campaigning for Trump.
He was heavily, heavily pro-Trump, and it turns out it was basically a bargain, as in like it was they were bargaining.
It seems his public, that way, definitely.
His public support endorsement in return for a seat at the table.
But basically, it is interesting because I think a lot of people have been saying they can see that Trump's actually getting a bit annoyed with him.
Oh, is
like,
it?
In videos where they're together, you can kind of tell that Trump's kind of a bit fed up.
Oh, really?
Which is interesting. To see how that plays out. But he also, I think in Germany, he was endorsing a far-right party there.
Let's not forget, when the race riots happened, he was stoking the flames of that as well, Elon Musk. He literally was like accusing the police of having a two-tiered policing system that favours like, you know, people of colour and immigrants.
He basically has this whole thing about why are they arresting people that post things online, but they're releasing these people, which I think, fair enough, in terms of the releasing people early who have done horrific crimes, like that need that rehabilitation, people who've been involved in sexual violence, all of that. Mm. Fair enough, we don't want to release them or release them early. But the whole thing of not people not facing consequences for posting things online that are promoting violence or hate, I'm sorry, but like that's... The thing is, people don't understand like the difference between free speech and hate speech.
Yeah.
And you can't not face consequences for putting stuff like online. If you say that, oh, anyone can put whatever they want online, it has real life consequences.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't deny that. And as someone who owns one of the biggest apps in the world, it's kind of worrying that they don't recognize or acknowledge that concept.
Yeah.
But most recently, he's turned his attention to the UK. And has been...
Back to the UK, rather.
Yeah, it's back to the UK and is publicly backing Tommy Robinson and saying, free Tommy Robinson, basically going along with the narrative, why has he been jailed for telling the truth, essentially. So for context, Tommy Robinson is currently serving an 18-month prison sentence after admitting to contempt of court during a libel case involving a Syrian refugee schoolboy, Jamal Hijazi. A video of said schoolboy Hijazi being attacked by another teenager in Yorkshire went viral in October 2018. Robinson posted videos on Facebook in response, claiming that Hijazi had attacked young English girls and threatened to stab a boy at school. These are allegations that Hijazi has denied. The videos that Robinson has posted, which were seen by nearly 1 million people, led to Hijazi and his family receiving death threats. Mm. The High Court then ruled in 2021 that Robinson had defamed Hijazi and ordered to pay him £100,000 in damages and also handed Robinson an injunction preventing him from repeating those claims. However, a couple years later, February 2023, Robinson began to repeat these claims and even went to the length of making a documentary about being, quote-unquote, silenced by the state, which he then posted on X, on Twitter, and then in July, literally broadcast the documentary to viewers in Trafalgar Square. So
Tommy Robinson is just such... Like, on the one hand, I just laugh at him and I ridicule him and I mock him. But on the other hand, like, I'm terrified of him. Like, he's just such... He's been around for ages. Like, listen, if there's one man who's about it, if there's one man who is committed to the cause, it is Tommy Robinson. But, I mean, if you know, you know. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you know, you know. We don't need to sit here and talk about Tommy Robinson. What's interesting now is that Elon Musk has vocally given his like support to him, which is crazy because I feel like anyone in the UK, it's crazy for him to give Tommy Robinson his support without having the correct context basically of like exactly what the EDL is, what they stand for, what they do, and Tommy Robinson as a person.
Which, I think also saying that, oh, it's because, why has he been jailed for telling the truth? But it's like, where's your proof that what Robinson is saying is the truth?
If,
like,
the High Court themselves has called it defamation, do you not think that they would have checked what the proof are? And once again, it's this rhetoric, like, Tommy Robinson loves this. Like, oh my God, I'm being silenced by the state. It's this rhetoric of, like, white men being oppressed by the state, when actually, historically, they have scarcely ever been enemies of the state and always benefactors, you know, and always beneficiaries of the state as well. So that in itself is a very, very interesting rhetoric from Robinson. But I feel like in the UK, race relations are so, they have such, like, a specific context, you know, that people from outside of the UK will never really be able to grasp. You know, that's why we hear a lot of the times Americans, for example, saying things like, oh, racism is not as bad in the UK, but that's because you don't know the faces that it has and the forms that it takes, you know. So to kind of come in without any of that context and to publicly endorse what, you know, what is essentially a racist far right extremist group is insane.
And I think also
him. Tommy Robinson as well, by the way.
Google search, like.
Exactly, because Tommy Robinson is not just, you know, a racist and Islamophobe and an extremist. He's also a thief. Like, wasn't he done for tax evasion? Like, forget about his politics, just him personally. There's so many bookie things about the guy.
Yeah, it was interesting, actually, when I was reading up about this and he was saying about his previous convictions, and I was like, okay, actually, these aren't actually to do with the racism.
It's not. Like, it's actually not just him as a person. He is booky. Like, he is up to no good. He is a rotten apple, in my opinion. Yeah,
in our opinion. Based on the evidence provided.
But yeah, like, he is a rotten apple, like, not just because of his political work, but just in general. Like, the man went into hiding.
Obviously, the whole Tommy Robinson angle has been what Musk has been promoting, but also he's been really focusing on
so dangerous, actually, because Musk, regardless of what we think of him as, like, people with informed opinions, like, nevertheless has a big platform.
Exactly. So this is why it's even worse that he's turned his attention to the topic of grooming gangs, specifically members of South Asian origin. So to give the context as to why he is also talking about this right now, in June 2022, an independent review found that police and council had failed to prevent sexual exploitation of young girls by gangs in Oldham. The review identified multiple opportunities to stop the abuse from 2005. In July 2024, political leaders in Oldham Council called on the government to investigate child sexual abuse in the town at the hands of quote-unquote grooming gangs. But in October of the same year, Home Office Minister Jess Phillips rejected the council's request, saying that it should lead an investigation itself. Now, it was on Wednesday, that's just gone, which I think Wednesday was literally New Year, right? Yes, the 1st of January, that the British outlet GB News, which I think we can all agree is definitely right-leaning, reported on this and blamed the Labour Party, which obviously came into power in July, for its inaction on grooming gangs. The report that GB News made was amplified by Musk, as well as other Conservative leaders in the UK, on social media. Musk posted on X saying that Keir Starmer has failed to prosecute child rapists when he was a director of public prosecutions between 2008 and 2013. And he also posted on X on Friday, so 3rd of January, saying Jess Phillips is a rape genocide apologist. Now, I think
this is loaded language.
I think before we even go into the kind of angle and the narrative that this is promoting, I think we also have to point out that whilst, like, I personally don't necessarily agree with Jess Phillips' principles based on previous events, for him to tweet that as the owner of the biggest platform, and given, like, what platform that has, surely that's got to be some kind of defamatory statement to say
it is,
that.
It is,
like,
it is, yeah.
Like, what is that based on?
Yeah.
And what does it say that he, and it's still up, I checked this morning, what does it say that he can literally get away with putting that out there?
It's but this is exactly it, right? Like, I think it's, oh my God, someone who has control of one of the largest social media platforms, like, in the world globally, right? they must require a certain level of like impartiality and adherence to kind of like rules, right? There's got to be some kind of law and order. Whereas I think where Elon Musk has been so involved in that US politics, and he's created a precedent where he is able to use and exploit and even manipulate, in my opinion, his power and influence on Twitter, on X, to further kind of political agendas, and it has succeeded in the case of the US election. Mm. He's obviously transported that now to the UK. And we said that at the time, we said it sets a very, very dangerous precedent where people who aren't qualified to speak on certain things in such a public manner are now able to do so, right? And because he's the owner, there's no regulation. He decides what regulation there is and what regulation there isn't.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we see in that, because now he's able to come to the UK context, not understanding the kind of intricacies of these issues, talk, not even just talk, but like accuse, you know, sitting like, you know, MPs with such kind of heavy charges,
yeah,
which is insane. But I wonder, like, just obviously, let's not like beat around the bush. There is a racial element to all of this. To side with far-right groups who are, once again, in the UK context, many of us will know, you know, in a lot of people's opinion, just racist, you know. To side with them very vocally, to side with Tommy Robinson, to side with Reform UK, to selectively choose the issue of Asian grooming gangs rather than just an issue of grooming in general. Because we know there isn't, it's not like a disproportionate thing. It's not that it's disproportionately Asian men who are doing this. Yeah. I mean, literally look at our own royal family. Not going to say anymore. Thing.
So someone pointed out actually that Britain itself has a problem with child abuse.
Right.
Like, if you look from the highest profile people right down to the lay person.
Absolutely. Like, I go on, you know, them, like, paedophile busting videos. Have you ever seen
that
them?
Come up on TikTok and
And, like, Facebook and stuff like that. And, like, I watch them, and, like, I'm not going to lie, 9 out of 10 times, it's one demographic. It's white men. From what I see, 9 out of 10 times, I'm seeing, like, it's white
the
men.
The stats are literally there as well, because the Home Office in 2020 did a report. The majority of child sexual abuse gangs are made up of white men under the age of 30. That's right. What it found.
Right.
It found that while offenders came from a diverse backgrounds, groups tended to be men of same ethnicities.
Right.
Money and sex were motivations, as well as a sexual interest in children and misogyny. The review also found that South Asian and British Pakistani men are disproportionately found in high profile cases.
Right. So there we go. I just used the word. It's disproportionate. So to selectively choose an example of like the Oldham grooming gangs, for example, is a choice. And when you then, you know, add that up with the fact that he's, you know, taken on Tommy Robinson's side and he's speaking in favour of Reform UK, it paints a particular picture of a person with certain predilections, which I don't believe should be allowed to have the kind of platform that they do, in my opinion.
If you could say that to his face right now, I really feel like he would come back and say, oh, so
it's free speech.
So, and also, so you're condoning what's happening. It's like, no, like, by no means, like, in the instances where it has been largely South Asian, in the instances where that has been the case, obviously that's horrific.
Yeah.
We only know what we see in the media, right?
And it's racist. Yeah, let's just say what it is. In our opinion, it's racist to make South Asian men the face of sexual grooming or child grooming when actually statistics show that it's white men that are more involved in it than Asian men. And it's a choice. It's a choice to do it because it vilifies South Asian men. It's just racist. Now, for Elon Musk to overlook all of that context and willingly, as I said before, choose to focus on one particular instance of child grooming when there are many more to choose from, it is a choice and it speaks to something. In my opinion, what it speaks to is racism. That's it. Mm-hmm. And two things can be true at once. It can be true that, you know, those Asian men who ran the child grooming gangs absolutely need to be brought to justice and it was horrific and vile and disgusting what they did. But it can also be true that Elon Musk is perhaps only you know, showing disdain for this particular demographic rather than others because of his own racist tendencies, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think even if that's not the case and say, like, we've missed that he is, like, pointing out other grooming in general, as an ex-user, all I've seen is British Pakistani. So even if he is pointing that out, why is
but
it
also,
that only
like,
that
take,
is
take
on
the
on
context,
my feed?
Take on the context as well. He publicly endorsed Trump. He stoked the, you know, far, the kind of rights, that the race rights that we had on the side of the far right groups. He's publicly endorsed Tommy Robinson. He's publicly endorsed the Reform UK. Like, it paint the picture for yourself, you know?
I will say it is interesting that Nigel Farage is being, in my opinion, clever about this, in that he's publicly saying that he doesn't agree with Musk's backing of Robinson.
Right.
As Farage is like on repeated times said that he doesn't want, he basically doesn't want to be part of anything that Robinson's part of. I think that's the reason why he left UKIP was because Robinson became a part of that. So it is
very interesting.
It is interesting that it's calculated, in my opinion.
Yeah, of course it is. I think it's a class thing. I think it's upper class fascism versus lower class, like working class fascism.
Or maybe I was thinking more of the fact that he sees, like, he recognizes Robinson is a flight risk.
I think both.
Yeah, but either way, it's interesting to see that Farage is in a position to be... It's also worrying that Farage is in a position to be able to be picky about who he's choosing, like, how he's, like, using his... getting his support and whatever. And it has been alleged also that Elon Musk was actually wanting to donate millions of pounds to Reform. However, he's since denied this. But if it were to happen... it's worrying. And I think, again, especially in the light of what happened last August, it's just a bit of a worrying time, actually, with all literally so much anti...
He's not a British citizen. Like, what horse does he have in the game? Like, it's no one is doing this because they're genuinely interested in... He has a genuine passion for British politics
and
being a non-British citizen. You know, that's not what it is. Yeah. He's got some skin in the game somewhere, and it's probably, in my opinion, financial.
Mm. It's just a very worrying time, especially, like I said, in the light of what happened last August, the fact that he's back stoking the flames of anti-South Asian hate, essentially, on social media. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want it to be the case, but could we see similar things happening again? It's certainly possible, given the fact...
No, it will definitely have some kind of consequence, but that's precisely why it's so dangerous. He actually has so much influence and so much power that you can't take anything that he says as just like, oh, he's just talking. But there will inevitably be some extent of, you know, fallout and consequence. I really don't like him, personally. I really, really, really do not like him.
Yeah, in case you haven't got the...
I find him, like, really weird. I personally find him creepy. Like, I think he's an alien. He feels like an alien to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not human.
In my opinion,
obviously. I just don't feel... Yeah, there's just something very off about him.
I just don't... You know, we've spoken before about people that have that much money. It's like, what actually is... When you've got that much power and money, I reckon a bit of it is to do with, like, he just wants to continue topping. You always want to get, like, a little bit more.
Well, that's what it is. Like, he's kind of, like, conquered his, you know, commerce and whatever, and now he's going into politics. It's just amassing more power, more influence, and probably more capital as well.
For what, though?
For power's sake.
Yeah, I just don't get that.
I know.
Yeah.
Boo.
In our opinion,
God.
Well, whilst we're on a bit of a down vibe, let's continue and go over the globe to India.
Right, I actually haven't seen any of this. You're going to have to tell me what's going on. No, I haven't. So, I haven't really been on social media. I've been really busy.
I was shocked. I was, like, aghast. I was taken aback, right?
Right.
New Year's Day, whatever it was, on socials, just scrolling through, I see something of Modi. Who's there, like, exchanging flowers with him? Who's there? Diljit Dosanjh. I was just like, wait. No, I was literally like, wait, what?
For those of you who aren't aware why I'm crying, I've publicly expressed my love and adoration for this man on this platform. and I am disappointed.
I just
personally
a bit confused, right? And it seems that I'm not entirely sure what the reason for their meeting was, but it's been very heavily publicised and marketed, literally to the extent that it's like a joint collaboration post between Diljit and Modi's Instagram accounts.
No, India is one of those places where celebrities are very involved in like the political world. Like, it's like celebrities are always meeting with Modi and vice versa, because I guess like Bollywood is such a cultural export, it actually really impacts their diplomatic relations with other countries, which I guess is inherently political. But well, Bollywood is such a state vehicle as well.
Kieran Kerr, we love a problematic
thing. Yeah, sad, very sad.
Anyway, came up on social, I was literally like, wait, what is going on? It seems that, I'm not sure why they met, but like I said, it was very heavily publicized, marketed out as like, they were basically exchanging niceties, like reflecting on each other's like personal journey. I think they've both kind of had this experience of coming from the bottom essentially and like rising to the top. But for those who don't know, this is just really weird and out of pocket, I would argue, given that Diljit is obviously a Punjabi Sikh.
Yeah.
And for the past 5 years, there have been ongoing farmer protests in Punjab.
But it's not even just 5 years. Like, there's a very deep-rooted history between kind of like the Indian state, the Indian government, and like, you know, Punjabi Sikh people and how they've been treated, you know, historically with a lot of, I was going to say the word disdain, but actually it's quite a, it's too generous of a word to actually describe the kind of the reality of oppression. I mean, it literally led to a genocide in 1984,
yeah,
you know?
It's very true.
So you can't understate actually the relationship between the oppression from the state onto Punjabi Sikh people in India. Mm.
But the most recent wave of that has been these farmer protests that have been happening for the past 5 years, which basically, when they started back in 2020, it was in response to proposed farm laws that would loosen rules around sale, pricing and storage of farm produce. Obviously, those protests happened. It was around the same time that actually we started this show.
Mm.
And they eventually were successful in securing the government's assurance that they were going to scrap the proposed farm laws and discuss demands, including guaranteed prices for produce and a withdrawal of criminal cases against the protesters. However, fast forward to now, and I think a lot of farmers are just feeling like there's been a lot of words and not really any kind of action being made.
And I think because... Oh, sorry, go on.
Yeah, go on.
I was going to say, like, obviously, because a lot of these farmers are Punjabi Sikh people, it then became an issue of actually... Well, it became the problem of, like, Khalistan, basically.
Mm.
So, obviously, we've spoken a lot about this on the show before, but then it kind of it became synonymous with like an issue of Khalistan, and then like a lot of people were directing their hate towards the farmers and like presenting it as like hate and anti-Sikh sentiment basically.
Mm. And it's just the reason why the protests have restarted in the past year is because the farmers been like, right, it's been like 3 years, what's going on? They feel like there's basically empty promises being made. There's a lot of talk but no sincerity. And they say it always seems to be like they're just buying time, which is interesting as well, because it made sense kind of last year, because obviously they had the election coming up. But now that Modi's like secured power for another term, there is literally another like 5 years or something that he's guaranteed, so like they could just continue pushing it if they wanted to. What they're looking for this time is the legal guarantee for purchasing crops at a minimum support price, a farm debt waiver, pensions for farmers and farm labourers, and no hike in electricity tariffs, which it all seems
these are all very reasonable things.
They do keep trying to march on the capital, but keep getting stopped at the border.
And not just peacefully, so as in they're not getting stopped peacefully. There have been like pretty violent clashes.
Human rights watchers claim that Indian authorities have used threats, excessive force, internet shutdowns, tear gas, water cannons, all of that to stop them. I think at least in the last year, I know that at least five people have been killed. And I know a number of people are also going on hunger strike as well.
Yeah.
The people don't go on hunger strike unless they're it's literally one of them's doing it. It's called a fast unto death.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's how strongly these people are feeling about it.
It's their livelihoods, you know, like all of that to explain that it's a very heavy context.
Yeah.
You know, it's life and death for a lot of people. And people are laying down their life.
Yeah. So the farmers restarted the protests like around this time last year, but I think they have kind of, there's been a bit more of a push over the past couple of months, and literally right now still there's farmers camped out at the borders carrying out these hunger strikes, trying to get through and failing, and yet I think it just really feels like a bit of a kick in the face for them.
Mm.
As someone that is one of the most high profile Punjabi Sikhs,
yeah,
in India, in the, yeah, world, arguably.
Yeah.
To then be meeting with the
the face, basically, yeah, you know, like
of this
oppression
that they're facing. It is just kind of like, yeah, it's sad.
I can imagine it feels like a bit of a betrayal, you know.
Yeah,
I personally, like, I'm not even Punjabi Sikh, I'm just a fan of Diljit, and I feel betrayed, you know. I'm like, it's because the one thing about, like, Sikh people that we've seen, especially when it comes to, like, you know, Khalistan, is that they are very, very principled, you know, and they, for them, like, it's serious. We were talking just like 2 minutes ago about the hunger strikes, and they are literally, like, ready to lay down their lives, you know. So for a lot of people, it is life and death, and it's their principles that they're ready to die for.
Yeah.
So it is extremely disappointing that one of, as Carlos was saying, like, the most high profile Punjabi Sikhs, I would say, in the world right now.
Yeah, literally. I think that might be why him and Modi met now, is because I think he finished his Deluminati tour on 31st of December, I think. So that might be why he's met them. Because I think Modi,
Sidhu Moosewala, I just want to run to you. You would never, Sidhu would never.
I think that
R.I.P.
I think that might be why Modi met with him, because I think they were speaking about, like, when a boy from a small village in Hindustan shines on the global stage, it feels amazing.
Oh, now he's Hindustani.
Mm.
Oh, now he's Hindustani. You've just spent, like, decades making Sikhs out to be terrorists, but now they're Hindustani, okay?
Yeah, and it's just really sad because, like, literally back in 2020, at the peak of the farmer protests then, Diljit literally put out on social media saying,
yeah,
like, oh, I really support the farmers. I urge the Indian government to meet these demands, like, go and talk to the farmers, blah, blah, blah. But now, obviously, to this, I know one farm leader has said that if Diljit truly cared about farmers, he would have come and joined us in solidarity. Instead,
yeah,
meeting PM Modi raises doubt about his intentions.
Yeah.
Sad.
It's just a bit disappointing. I understand, like, being maybe the pressures of, like, the industry. Maybe he might have felt that he'd get blacklisted. I get sometimes people have to kind of make connections and do things they don't want to,
yeah,
in order to succeed. But, like,
also, we don't know the conversations that were had.
Yeah,
maybe behind closed doors there was some kind of, like, look, what's going on with this? Like,
yeah.
But,
you know, perhaps. But, I mean, that, regardless, at some point you have to stick to your principles, you know? And,
yeah,
like, that is, regardless of whatever conversation might have had, have happened before, behind closed doors, that was very much a public kind of, you know.
Wait, what? Like was, I say, the whole,
the public, like, are going to look at that and say, like, oh, you, it's a public endorsement almost.
Yeah, the,
you
whole
know,
like, collaboration post between him and Modi,
oh,
like,
crying.
And it's, again, especially when, I'd say, even not just South Asian audience, I think Diljit has, like, a wider, like, a set of eyes looking on him.
Absolutely.
Right now,
he is,
at
the, as
end
I said,
of his, like, tour,
like, he is genuinely, yeah, one of the biggest, like, Punjabi Sikh.
Yeah, I had a whole, like, he bought Ed Sheeran, didn't he, or something?
Yeah.
The man's
list of,
yeah,
collabs, cross genres, is incredible. Like, he is very well known.
Yeah.
By so many people. He was on, like, was it Jimmy Kimmel or something? One of them.
Yeah, one of the,
one
the,
of them,
the late shows,
late night.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, like.
Yeah.
That guy's a celebrity. Capital C celebrity. Come on.
So, yeah.
Sad.
Solidarity with all of the Punjabi Sikh community,
yeah,
at the moment. And Diljit, sort it out.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. But also, it was really weird. Did you see the beef that he had?
No, I didn't. What is this about?
Just
not
really
my two children fighting.
Well, it was just weird. Like,
what is it?
Diljit kind of, he was doing one of the last shows on his tour.
Right.
And he kind of gave a shout out to Karan Aujla and AP Dylan because they'd been like performing in India as well. And then Dylan responded whilst all performing in Chandigarh saying, oh, Diljit, please unblock me on Instagram. Claiming they blocked him on Instagram. Diljit then responded by sharing screenshots claiming that he'd never blocked him. Then AP shared a before and after video showing how he was blocked by him, only to be unblocked later. So it was just really weird. It does kind of
sound like serious beef because it started out by him shouting him out.
Well, no, and also I think it was all kind of polite, like AP still congratulated him. But it is kind of, it's giving publicity, it's done.
I'll take it. Yeah. For a minute, I thought it was real beef, genuinely. It's like, you know, when your kids fight, oh my God, heartbreaking.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see how the wider South Asian community responds to this now, because I don't know, I can't see people really stopping listening to Diljit's music, but I think definitely he's kind of lost.
I don't think it's cancel worthy.
No,
it's just,
he's just lost that sense of like
a little sparkle in my eye has gone for him.
He's lost the sense of solidarity, and I think people are gonna look to others for
that
kind of sentiment.
Yeah. Sad.
It is sad. What can you do?
Not meet with Modi.
Yep. True. I'm keeping my mouth shut. I'm trying to go to India in a couple of months.
Are you going again in a couple of months?
Next month, fingers crossed. As a closing sentiment, I saw a comment the other day on one of our YouTube. Like, it is on that like Bangladeshi one that kind of has randomly got a load of views, like on YouTube. There's one that's like about I think the title is like what does it mean to be British Bangladeshi? And it's literally got so many views.
Really?
It has. And one of the comments on it is, it's got a lot of, like, you can guess the type of comments that it's got on. It's just, like, annoying. But one of them was literally, like, someone saying, like, oh, yeah, like, I think it's quite easy for, like, Bangladeshi or Bengali people to be mistaken. Like, we all kind of look, like, the same. And he's like, I'm Pakistani Punjabi, and I commonly get mistaken as a Bengali. And I just read that, and I was like,
No,
you're literally from the opposite end.
Yeah,
like,
you do not.
Like, I was just read that, and I was like, I really doubt that.
Pakistanis have this thing where they get really offended when they're mistaken as Bengali.
It's just, it's weird that they're claiming that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess maybe if he's like, because obviously, like, phenotypically, we're known to be kind of like darker skinned. So maybe if the guy is a bit darker skinned, maybe he does, but generally not. Maybe by a white person. But then they wouldn't say Bangladesh because Bangladesh is like the lesser known.
Yeah, Bengali, yeah.
It's like the lesser known out of the three.
In fact, you said Pakistani Punjabi leads me to think, are you more likely to be. I don't know. Like, not necessarily. It is interesting the way that
phenotypes
like,
work.
You'd think that being further north, that's guaranteed light skin, but it actually isn't when I think about like Pakistani Punjabi people. There are some that are and some that aren't. It's very interesting. But one thing that they don't look is Bengali, so I just was like, no.
Exactly.
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Yeah. Right. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. See you next week.